The gates to the Rose Garden are now open. Welcome to my world. You are listening to Talk That Talk with Danielle Moneyham, a reflective conversation where I share the lessons I've learned on this journey called life. I don't have all the answers, but I do have plenty of questions. My name is Danielle Moneyham, and this is my love letter to the world, where I let my soul speak. Let's talk. Hello, friends. The gates to the Rose Garden are open. Welcome back to the show. This season is dedicated to origin stories and understanding the power of our journeys. I'm thrilled to be joined by my former co-worker and collaborator, the woman who saved me, my dear Aries sister, entrepreneur and event expert, LaToya of LK Events. Usually when I have LaToya with me, we spend a lot of time answering FAQs about weddings and sharing tips to help avoid bridezilla experiences. But today, we are learning about her origin story and what influences her to always keep the party going. Hey, LaToya.
Hi, Danielle.
Welcome back to the show.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here, like always.
I'm excited to learn more about you and LK Events and what got you going. But I have to ask, how has 2020 been for you as an event planner and entrepreneur?
So as an event planner and entrepreneur, 2020 has been different, challenging, which I think sometimes people have challenging as a negative connotation, and it's not negative because it has also been rewarding with these challenges. I know in the industry, a lot of people are saying pivot, like that's our word. We are pivoting, and I am pivoting, but slowly and gracefully, because I want to make sure that I am making the best decisions for my business.
So let's talk about your business as you are exploring what different graceful pivots can look like. How long has LK Events been around?
So I planned my first event to get paid, and I always add in the to get paid part, in 2013. It was my first wedding in Chicago, and it was cold. It was a December wedding, but I have been successfully a business owner since 2013.
Do you remember when you did your first free event?
Yes, I do. I share the story and I try to condense it. I have been planning birthday parties, baby showers, like for friends. And I don't think that I knew that I was planning at that time. I just was like, oh, you having a baby? Okay, these are your colors. We're going to get cake. We're going to get food. We need decorations. It's going to be at this spot. Like, that's planning, essentially. And then I didn't realize that I was also designing, because I would go in the room and say, we'll move this table here. We'll put the food here. And, you know, everyone enters through here and coats go there. And so my first couple of ones were like for college friends, like my college roommate. I did her baby shower. My mom and I did my sister's baby shower. But I think when it really like hit that, okay, this could be a business, was when I did my dad's 50th birthday party. I threw him a stepper set. And if you're from Chicago, you know that stepper sets are a thing. So how I really got started, I was, like I said, planning those other events for like friends and family or whatever. And I had a really good, well, I have a really good friend who is a bomb graphic designer. And so I would ask her to make me stuff. And she was doing it as a business that at that time, like full blown, working with other companies. But here I am like, you're my friend. Can you please make this invitation and have it printed and mailed to me? Because at the time she was living in Georgia. And being the good friend that she is, one day she said, I do this as a profession. I love you, but I need to get paid to do these items. I'm here to support you, but I can't keep turning design items and invitations and posters and things for you off the love of our friendship. And so for me, I was like, I got it. No problem. I just won't do anything event related, like, because I wasn't getting paid for this stuff either. And she said, we can create your logo, get your business card, get your website up, and you can turn this into a business. And I was like, nope, no thank you. That's not what I'm here for. Like, my academic background is in public relations. I am going to be a PR person. I'm going to work in communications. I think at the time I was working in internal communications. So it just wasn't, it wasn't even in my eyesight to own a business. Like, when she said that, I was like, okay, Jesus, this is not the direction we're going in. No problem. And then my dad's birthday came. And so I went to her and I was like, I know we had this discussion, but... And like most of my friends, she loves my dad. So she said, I will do this for you if you let me create your logo and your website and we get you situated.
Come on, friends.
Run your business.
Come on, friends.
Right, right. Support, right? So I literally thought about it and was like, no, this isn't a thing. But I said yes. And I honestly don't know what made me say yes. So I said yes. And within like 2 to 3 days, she got everything together. She ran some proofs by me. We made some tweaks. We did, you know, paperwork, all that good stuff. And then like 2 days later, she turned out my father's invitations. Literally, business has just been moving since then. And still, now that I think about it, so my dad, 8 years ago was when I did my dad's birthday party. And when I think about it, I was legit planning. We scouted some venues. Me and my dad scouted some venues. I was negotiating bar packages with the venue. I looked for a caterer. Like, I don't know these people. It was just I needed people to do these things. I designed his cake. Anybody who knows my dad knows he wears this charm. That's our last name. That he had custom made, like, back in the 80s when jewelry and hair and bone and all that was a thing. So his cake was the charm. I took a picture of the charm, gave it to the bakery, like talked about the cake flavors and how I want it to look. I'm designing and not really knowing what's going on. Printed the flyers out. And I knew back then that a guest list was essential to a great party, right? But I also knew that my father knows everybody under the sun. And there is no way that I would have been able to mail anything, and no age shaming, but he was turning 50, and sending an email was not going to work for his guest list either. So I printed out, I think we may have printed like 150, maybe 200 invitations, and I gave it to him. And I was like, when you see your people, this is your invite. This is what you do. I knew my budget. And so when I say I was negotiating bar packages, we had a cash bar because I knew his friends could drink the best under the table, and I was financing all of this. I had favors that were whiskey glasses etched in with his name and the charm, like all of that. Like, I was, you know, branding the event and still didn't know that I was branding the event. And from that event, I don't know how many people showed up, but it was so many people in that place. It was a True Steppers event. They ate all of the cake. They got the bartender drunk. Like, the bartender, they got drunk. you know, the food was gone. So it was literally, like, from that birthday party, people just kind of started asking me to do things. And I did it. And now that my dad is about to turn 60 in 2 years, people have asked him, like, so what's, are we having another party? No. No,
he's
not.
He's definitely going to have another party. You're going to have to. Number one, I got to for real shout out your friend and shout her out for multiple reasons. One, for like really telling you in a loving and gracious way that like, this is what I do for a living. So I can't do this for you for free. But also seeing the brilliance in you that either you did not see for yourself or you refused to see because you were so focused on what you thought your next step was, but she really pushed you and challenged you. Like, if you want me to do a favor for you, then you got to do a favor for me, which is believing in yourself and letting me help you launch your business. What kind of trade-off is that?
Yes. Yes. And like, shout out to her. Her name is Louise. She owns Hyro Body, which is like a body butter aromatherapy, like all of that good smell, good stuff. So she went from like graphic design, being a baker, to now she owns Hyro Body, which anytime I send out like thank yous to clients or my Christmas gifts or just, you know, show vendor love to anybody, I send them her products because we have to feed off of each other. But yeah, I mean, yeah. And I felt no kind of like, how dare she tell me about, I was just like, okay, I'll receive it.
Oh, this is what it means, how an Aries understands and can move. You just got to tell it to us in a way that we receive. We'll say like, okay, you right.
And she a fire sign too. So there was no like, yeah, it was just like, I'm going to be real with you. And we both speak the same language in money. And so when she said, I get paid for this, I was like, okay, I understand that, because I was not paying you and she was not asking me to pay her. Even now, when I support her through Hyro Body stuff, she will give me a price and I'll be like, no, what's another price? Because that's not going to work. And we'll literally go back and forth. And then I'll just be like, okay, well, I'm going to send you a little extra, put it in your daughter's savings account or whatever. Because money is real. Like,
money is real, especially when you're talking about business and you're talking mm-hmm. about, you know, launching your own business and establishing yourself as an entrepreneur. So have you experienced any barriers on your journey once you finally started, once that masterful 50th birthday party was done and everybody was asking, have you experienced any barriers? And if so, how did you overcome it?
Yeah, the barrier was me. And it's still a thing for me. I am not, so, okay, also my background is in public relations, right? So I should know most of the things that's happening or that should happen in regards to marketing and branding your business. I will not self-promote. I just do not. And it's not because I don't think that I'm great enough or that I can get the job done or whatever. I firmly believe that what is meant for me will come. And will be like, if someone tells me like, oh, my cousin just got engaged, my first response is congratulations. You know, I'm not like, okay, well, tell your cousin to call me and blah, blah, blah. And yes, that is a barrier because people could see it as like, oh, she's missing out on business. But no, that person who told me that their cousin got engaged, they know I'm a planner. And so when the time comes for that conversation, if I have a seat at the table, then I'll sit there. If not, then that means somebody else is pulling up a chair to their table. So it is a barrier in a sense that people probably can look at that and say that I'm missing out on opportunities. But I have so many opportunities that come my way that fall in my lap and absolutely work out for me and the better part. How I overcome that barrier. I push myself in a sense of wanting to do other things that are promoting my business without me like pushing. And no shade to the other business owners who wear their shirts when they go to Target and wear their shirts at family functions, and every time you have a conversation with them, it's like you have to do what's best for your business. But I look at things like, if I'm working a wedding and I'm talking to the photographer, in my mind, how I'm pushing myself is, what publication can I put this wedding in that's going to give me the best presentation, connection with my niche audience, who is going to then come in from this wedding and book me? Or if I'm at an event and I'm talking to a guest that's there and they're asking me questions, being fully present with that guest, because I don't know who that person knows. I don't know what they're thinking. I don't know who they can connect me to that is going to lead me to other events and other options. So that's kind of how I push myself over it. And I also push myself by doing things like this, getting on a podcast, because you already know this is a thing. I am an event planner because I don't like the light to be on me. So doing the podcast, having my yearly LK chats is a push for me to kind of overstep that barrier.
And I appreciate you always coming on the podcast. Every time I've asked you, you've been here. So I think this is like your third time. This is our third season. I think this is your third time or fourth time. I can't even remember, because I always come to you whenever I have wedding questions. And when you talk about like stuff falling in your lap, for those who don't know how LaToya and I got together, because I've never really told the full story. Originally, I was working with a different wedding planner. LaToya was going to help me with my reception, but the wedding was in the hands of someone else. And because of, like LaToya said, everything happening exactly as it's supposed to, that first planner was no longer able to plan my wedding. And so I came to my home girl, LaToya. And LaToya, talking about people saying yes and saying no, you told me no.
I did. I was just going to say that. I remember when we were working together before, you know, marriage was even a thing or your boo was even a thing. You were like, you're going to plan my wedding. And I remember being like, no, I'm not.
You told me no. You told me back then when we was working together years ago. And then in the middle of the crises, I was like, LaToya, I need you to plan my wedding. You was like, no, you can do it. You can do it. And I'm like, LaToya, I can't do this. I can't do this. And you came in and it was the perfect collaboration. Like when we worked together, we were able to like collaborate and put both of our superpowers together. That's exactly how the wedding and reception turned out for me. I had all of these ideas and you knew me enough to be able to translate those ideas and bring them from the stars into reality. So that was like the perfect fall in your lap example, because and it was a winter wedding, so shout out to you with your December brides.
Yeah.
When we first started talking about it, and I was like, okay, I need you for this and this, you were like, okay, so this is real. You really do want me to work with you, fine. Here's my website. Here are my prices. This is what it costs to work with me for X. And I was like, but LaToya, I don't have it. I don't have it. You was like, Danielle, this is my website, and this is what it costs to work with me for X. And when I looked at it, especially because people thought like you did, like, oh, Danielle, you can do this, or it's not that big. It's easy. It's not easy. But just like when it's a good operations person, you make it look effortless. You make it seem like it's easy. Like, oh, no, it's just this and this and this and this and this. When you were first establishing your business and people saw the party, your dad's 50th birthday party and all the details that went into it. But when you showed them your website and your prices and you said, like, so this is how much it costs for me to be able to work with you to create this experience. Did you ever have any barriers where people ever like, LaToya, I'm not paying you that, or I can't pay you that?
Yeah, absolutely. I heard another planner say this and it resonated with me. Having a planner for any event, it's a luxury. It's not a need. And so if you cannot afford my price, that's fine. That's absolutely okay. It doesn't mean that you won't have a great event. It means you cannot afford this particular luxury. When you can afford this luxury, give me a call. We can talk. So I don't feel any kind of way when someone's like, oh, you're out of my budget. Okay. I don't know what else to say outside of, okay, thank you for taking the time to talk to me. I have had clients. So when I first started, I was doing like a flat rate. And I say this now, and I can say this now confidently. My first wedding, I charged $500. There's not a way in the world you can get me to do a wedding for $500 at this point. But I had to start somewhere. And for me, I felt like $500, that's fine. That works for me. That bride received so much from me, which I don't regret giving it to her, because I learned in the process. I learned how to create processes. I learned how to communicate better. I always kind of put it in my mind is that $500 was just a training course for me.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, being in the professional world, when you go to training courses, there is a fee that the attendees have to pay. She didn't know she was my quote unquote training bride, but that was a training course for me. And every year in the wedding industry, period, every year prices go up because products go up. So a florist has to increase our prices because them roses and calla lilies are going to cost more. Shipping costs more, all of that. But then prices also go up because experience goes up. So I started off just increasing my pricing every year, little by little. And then through training and just reading more into the industry, I learned that some planners started charging by percentages of the overall budget. And then I started planning that way. So it would be a percentage of your overall budget. The challenge with that became clients didn't want to tell you their budget. And so they would tell you, oh, my budget is, just for, you know, round numbers, my budget is $10,000. And so I would charge based off of that budget. But then we get to the end of the day, of the wedding day, because I have their budget, they've spent $30,000. Well, now my fee has increased because it's a percentage of your budget. And then it became, well, I know we spent that much for this, and are you sure? Do you have a receipt for that? And blah, blah. So then it was like, all right. So I had to take a look at myself. Like, what are you doing on the back end that's not keeping them aware of their budget or keeping them abreast? Like, yes, they could see the budget and they see these numbers just as you do, but that's 6 months before the wedding. So at that point, I started having budget conversations 6 months, 3 months, a month before the wedding. And in every budget conversation, we revisited what my fee was. Like, this is what you have paid. And if you go for with this budget, this is where my fee increase. And that helped a little bit. But what was uncomfortable for me was that then they started cutting back on their wedding because they didn't want to pay more for me. And I don't want anybody to feel like they have to cut back in order to have me. Although, again, I am a luxury. But I think it's more clear now when you know what your price is going into it. So that was one barrier that I had. That was like another barrier that I had to get over. So now I charge a flat fee again, regardless of budget, but I have a minimum budget that I will work with. So now when I'm talking to clients, when they say, oh, I don't really know what my budget is, and then I push a little again, oh, I don't really know, then I say, okay, well, minimum budgets for my clients, for the pictures that you've seen, the images you've seen on my websites, what I work with starts at this amount. Can you safely say you're going to do this amount? And some of them say, oh, no. Okay, this relationship is not going to move forward. Some of them are like, oh, yeah, okay, perfect, great. That's what I was thinking anyway. And so that kind of helped me when it came to pricing. And still, I still raise my prices every year. 2020 was crazy, and I had to restructure my packages for 2020 and include like mini moons and micro wedding services. But I always get one or two clients who want to negotiate my packages or negotiate my pricing. And I attribute it to, a lot of my clients are from Chicago. And if you know a Chicagoan, we always gonna ask.
Let me ask.
Right. It doesn't hurt to ask. And I believe in negotiating, right? So I understand the power in negotiating as well. And I always have, you know, one or two clients that are like, oh, well, we don't need this, this, and this out the package. Does that change your price? No. Because even though you don't need this and this, you're going to ask me to do A, B, C, and D, which is not technically in the package, but you're going to want it. And I'll give it to you because once we have a contract, whether it's full production or partial production, I always do what's best for my client. Just understanding that they're trying to get the best bang for their buck, but also I need to get paid. And clients don't realize the mishaps that will happen in the planning process that they don't even know is going to happen, or that they don't even know happen. I just had to handle it, you know, with whatever vendor or whatever florist, and it took extra time out of my day, which is why I charge X amount of dollars.
Absolutely. And it is, like you said, it is a luxury. But if you have ever planned an event, if you have ever had to deal with a group of more than five adult humans, like if you've ever had to work with contracts, if any of this stuff, under a high pressure, high visibility situation, it was an incredible, I don't even have an adjective to describe how valuable it was having you during the planning process, and even that day for people who just have the day of services, to have mm-hmm. someone there that's not in the wedding party, because of course your friends and your family, I could do it. Girl, you standing up here next to me. You can't do it. But you know, you don't think about that stuff because you've seen weddings, you've been to weddings. It's kind of like, I think with people with education, people assume it's kind of easy to be a teacher because you've gone to school. You sat with teachers before, you've been in class. How hard could it be? I've been in school. Like, no, until you have done this and sat in the seat to make sure that it is executed, it's a different experience. What is like your proudest or greatest accomplishment thus far? When you look at some of the events that you have executed, what makes you be like, I see you, LaToya. I see you, LaToya.
So I still get a little hype off of being published in publications. And I don't know that it's the greatest accomplishment to date, but like when I got my client published in Chicago Style Weddings, which is a magazine, a huge magazine in Chicago. They got a 2-page spread. Now here go my PR talking about they got a 2-page spread. And for me, it was like, yes, you're in a magazine. Plenty of people are going to touch this magazine. And it's a table setting. They're going to flip through. While, yes, it's not a link that's going to direct them to anything on their phone or whatever, it's going to sit in people's homes. People will still look at those images and go back to, oh, I want my wedding to look like this, or oh, I want this color palette. For me, that's a thing. And then when one of my clients was published in Black Bride, I thought, you know what? I have arrived, because Black Bride has been around since 1998. And anybody pre-social media, when you were getting married, you went to Black Bride. Like, that was your leading source. And so when I got the email that the submission had been accepted, I just put my phone down and just started dancing. Because for me, it was like, that's okay, approval. Whoever put all this stuff together, they made it beautiful enough for us to share it with our readers. And then it went like on their website, on their Instagram, the publisher and I, like she was responding to my emails right away. You know, I sent her a gift too. you know, building connections. That's that PR in me. I had to keep that relationship. So for me, that was like, yes, I've made it. Now, my greatest accomplishment is when clients reach out and they say things like, I've been following you for months on Instagram, or my mom been following you for a year. I had a client who told me, I just talked to her a couple of weeks ago. She said, I put on Facebook, does anybody know any wedding planners? She said, my mom commented and said, I already told you who we're using. I sent you her page months ago. That to me was like, really? Like your mom? Like, I don't know these people. I don't know, you know, that they, who they are on Instagram, any, like they're not my social media friends or anything. But that to me just screams volumes of people appreciate your work. They see your work. And they like it enough to be like, okay, my daughter's not married yet, but when she is, this is who is planning my wedding.
Mother of the bride approved should be a little seal that you have on your website, because mother of the bride approved. Like, you want to talk about different people that you got to work with, build connections and relationship with throughout the wedding, to have the mother of the bride be like, okay, I already know who's taking care of you. Incredible. Yeah. Incredible.
Damn, because that's a good one. I hadn't even thought about it. Thank you for that, Jim.
You know what I'm saying? I try to do what I can. I try to help how I can. What future dreams do you have for LK events and PR? You see how I added that on there?
Right, because I'm not doing PR.
Y'all know LaToya is my PR person, right?
So I've been saying this for years, at least 5 years or so, that I really want to break into kid parties. I have visions in my mind. Again, here's the barrier. I just haven't implemented. I just have not done it. And because it's not to say that I can't do kids parties. I've done baby showers. I've done birthday parties. They just haven't been for children. I've done them for my family a little bit because I vow to never plan anything for my family because they stress you out for real. But my next step will absolutely be children's parties, specifically children's birthday parties. And the push for myself is definitely getting a style shoot together to showcase my visions, because I have a couple of them, and to start to promote that, because people don't know that you do it unless you do it. So I need to actually, like, do it.
How have you grown since you began this entrepreneurial journey? How has LaToya, the baby shower and birthday party planner into LK events, how have you grown?
That's a good question. That's a really, really good question. I think that I have grown by creating boundaries for myself. Creating boundaries pre-entrepreneur was like very loose thing for me. Personally, it just wasn't really a thing. Now, my clients don't text me. Everything needs to be via email. Like, I don't work on Sundays. If I have an event on that weekend, all my other clients are well aware. Like, I am out of touch. Nobody's dying. There's no fire. You know, I will circle back with you in enough time and appropriate time for that. I keep business and family completely separated, in the words of an awesome poet. And creating those boundaries have really helped me manage my business, maintain my sanity, and kind of brand myself, because I'm not burning myself at every turn. So it's really, really helped me to grow to understand that my time is important, whether it's business time or personal time, or just my self-care time. I'm a big advocate of self-care. And I don't know that I would have known how important boundaries were if I didn't start my business.
Mm-hmm. Do you run LK events full time? Is this your full time?
No, it isn't. I am a event planner for a university. So I'm always planning events and working with vendors at some point in the day. And again, going back to the boundaries, when I leave that 9-to-5 job, I leave that 9-to-5 job. They know, do not call me. I'm not checking work email because it's my personal time. And the same thing with LK. Like, my clients know that I work, so I probably cannot meet you at 9:30 on a Wednesday. Maybe I can make my schedule that way, but I don't tell them that in advance just so I can kind of manage my schedule.
Shout out to boundaries. How have you grown since establishing your brand? You said like keeping family out of business has really helped you establish your brand. You talked about like your different iterations and how from your training course bride, shout out to her, to your most recent bride, my mama found you months ago, like how you figure out what your business structure looks like, your pricing and the services that you offer. But how have you grown since establishing yourself as a brand?
Mm-hmm. So this is me putting on my PR hat. I market myself as the sneaker wearing event planner because a lot of people think luxury event planners are these super foo-foo, like glammed up people. I'm going to have on a pair of sneakers at your event because I'm going to walk 20,000 steps. Nine times out of 10, I'm probably going to attend a vendor meeting in my sneakers because I love to wear them. So that kind of started, it started out as a joke and it just really went. And now I have people on social media like, let me see your shoes. Wait a minute. And I don't really even post my shoes that much on the on social media. So that's kind of how my branding has started. And now it's more, I just tap into, I am the calm planner. I am, you know, your sounding board planner. I am your, yes, this is tough. Let's push through. Let's devise a plan planner instead of kind of freaking out with my bride. Or I've had a lot of my clients be like, you seem so calm, because it's got to get done. So me kind of being anxious of it is not going to help me or you in the process.
Spoken like a true Aries. Get you an Aries in your life.
So I have to remember my brand when I'm posting, when I'm doing my chat with LKs. Now, you, the difference between personal and then my professional brand, like, you could probably ask my friend group, and I'm usually the fire in the group. Like, we doing this, we doing that, like, you know, a little bit more snippy, a little bit more forceful with things, but I still get everything done, you know. It's probably not said in the nicest way to my friend group, but they heard what I said. But just being very aware of those. And now, as my business grows, if I'm going to keep, and I probably will, not probably, I will keep the sneaker wearing event planner piece to it. Now it's just being more mindful of actually showing my sneakers, or when I go to events, whenever the world opens back up, actually wearing sneakers or something of the sort. I remember a couple of years ago, I went to a wedding event, like a networking event, and I had on Uggs. It was cold outside, but I had on Uggs. And one girl who I didn't know, she was a makeup artist, she knew me through social media, and she was like, I just thought you were going to have on sneakers. And I was like, you're right, I probably should have. But it's cold outside, and I don't wear my sneakers in the snow.
You let your fans down, LaToya. You gotta look, we expect this sneaker-wearing event planner to have on these sneakers. I love that. I do. I can't wait for you to, like, really market that, and that can help you, like, establish the next level of your brand, because it really is you. You're my real-life Wednesday Addams who wears sneakers every day.
I am your Wednesday Addams, because I'm probably going to have on black, too.
Let's talk events. What is your favorite type of event to plan and why?
I don't know that I have a favorite type of event. I think I have favorite moments of each event. So, like, when it comes to weddings, I love to see the initial walk down the aisle. Because even my toughest grooms of grooms, it's something that they do. They don't all cry. But some, like, burst out in this huge smile. Some, like, turn around and look at their guys. I've had a groom, like, look dead at his mama the entire time because he just could not handle until she got down the aisle. I also enjoy the room reveal at weddings because a lot of the planning time is spent on that. So I love when the couple gets to see it again, especially the groom, because some of them are like, I don't have a clue what y'all talking about. Chandelier and candle holders and this and that and table runners. They'd be like, whatever. And then they get in the room and they're like, oh, I see. This makes sense. And then, like, baby showers, that element again is just the mom being able to really be celebrated. Even though they're probably tired, just the love that they feel in the room kind of makes baby showers my favorite kind of thing to do. And then birthday parties. I love when my clients show out at their birthday parties. Like, I'm here for the wardrobe change halfway through the party. I'm here for the entrance. Like, I love when my clients are like, I told my guests to get there at 8. I'm not coming until 9:15. Okay. Like, I love it.
Let's talk about your most memorable moments. So, I'll just go ahead and start with a wedding, but I gotta throw my memorable moment. So we have so many with my wedding, but I think my favorite at the wedding, different than the reception, is when I had to run through the rain wearing my cape. I was a December bride, December 1st, so I had to run from the rectory to the church, and I was running through the rain with my hooded cape, and I got inside, and I heard my friends, because some people who had not been seated yet, I heard them saying, like, D-Money is coming, D-Money is coming, and then I had knotted my hood and my cape so tight, and you came over to take it off, and you was like, why did you put this double knot in here? And I was like, because I didn't want to get wet. And then you took the knot off, and we were fine. We were fine.
That's so funny. I have a lot of memorable moments, but the first one that kind of sticks out to me is similar to yours. I had a bride who was published in the Chicago Wedding, Chicago Style Wedding Magazine. She was getting married on the Odyssey, which is a boat in Chicago. She's at the top of the boat. That was where her ceremony was taking place. And my bride cried the moment she got on the boat, the moment she put on the dress, the moment we did her hair, the moment we gave her the bouquet. Like, she was just crying. She was so happy, and she was just crying and crying and crying. And we got ready to walk down the aisle. And her aisle, quote unquote, had stairs that went up, and then she walked down the aisle. So, because she was on the top landing of the boat, so before she hit the stairs, I like turned her to me and I had my hands on her shoulders and I said, listen, you have got to suck it up. These pictures need to be gorgeous. You do not want to see yourself face frowned up in these pictures. You look so pretty, but we have got to gather it. And she looked at me and she was like, okay. And like instantly tears stopped. She got down the aisle. And now I was supposed to leave because I had another wedding to go to, but I had to see the rest of this wedding. And I watched her, and she walked down the aisle, got to her groom, and burst out in tears. And I was just like, as long as she got down the aisle and we got great pictures.
That's all that mattered, getting down the aisle. I told my bridesmaids the same thing. No crying down this aisle. None.
Yes.
What about baby showers?
Baby showers. I've had so many great things happen at a baby. Okay, so this didn't really happen at the baby shower, but talk about mothers of the bride. Grandmothers. Mothers of the mom-to-be. So I was planning with the mom, the grandmother of the mom-to-be, and kind of sort of with the mom, but she was kind of like, I don't really care what y'all do. And her color palette, she wanted a, like, whimsical, garden, hobo chic kind of vibe.
I can see it.
And so, yeah, it was very, very pretty. We were on, like, the 22nd floor downtown, so the view was crazy. We were right by the water. She had catered food. We had a pianist there. Like, it was great. And we were planning, and I sent the grandma the design board, and the one request of the mom-to-be was to have a floral crown. And so in the design board, I sent her an example of a floral crown because the grandmother was like, I don't understand. She's going to be walking around with flowers on her head. And I was like, no, it's a thing. Like, it's wonderful. It'll work. And in the design board, I always put a little note that says, like, pictures are not exact in colors or design. This is just a vision. She called, so she got the design board, and she's like, I love it, everything works great, wonderful. Like, maybe 3 hours later, she called me, and she said, I just have a question. She says, I'm a Delta, and we can't have the flowers be that pink and that green.
Oh, Grandma.
She said, my friends would just never stop talking about me. And when I tell you, I giggled. Chuckled, and she started laughing, and she said, I just have to put it out there, I know that you know I'm a Delta, but I just have to make sure. I said, I get it, I totally understand, coming from a family that has family members who are Deltas and living with AKAs. Like, I get it. And she said, okay, I just wanted to be very, very clear that we can't have that pink and that exact gray. We have to choose one of those colors. We can't be
together. Pink is out. Grandma said, no pink, no pink.
So when she actually got the crown, I said, see, no pink and no green. Well, we did pink and green, but it wasn't the actual pink and green of AKA. Mm-hmm. And she was like, oh, yeah. It was like a conversation that had never even happened to her. Like, she was so into the day that she was just kind of like, oh, okay, yeah, sure.
Because that visual, that branding board, when you finally showed her a flower crown, she said, oh, no, not today and not tomorrow. What about a retirement party?
So the retirement party, so my client was pretty much like me, like doesn't like to be center of attention, doesn't want to be no toast, no roast, no any of that. She wanted a grand old, like, y'all just come here, eat, the music will be on, and that's it. But her family are the exact opposite.
Of course, got to love the family.
And she's a friend of a family. A friend of the family was actually there, is what I meant to say. And they decided to have a toast. And it went on and on and on. And she loved it so much that she started crying in tears. And she was just so filled with happiness and so filled with joy. And I remember saying to her, like, during the planning process, I always tell my clients, we can plan for certain things, but there are some things that will organically happen and it will be the best moment that you could not have planned for. And I said that to her at the party. I was like, see, this is an organic moment that we could not have planned for. She was like, and I'm so glad that you did not stop them from having my toast. And I was like, yay, thank you. Because I was about to stop, like, oh, no, this is not what we're doing. But she, you know, she was just kind of like, no, it's okay, let them go. Go ahead. I think it was like her cousin that started it and it just kind of trickled down. It's like 30 minutes of people giving toasts, but it was so heartfelt and so warming and so like giving people their roses while they're alive.
Yeah, that is so sweet. And it can be hard to plan for that because it's like, well, what if nobody wants to say anything and we got 30 minutes dedicated to it? So like, no, just take it off. But you create the space. And the people will celebrate you. That is a very sweet story. So from sweet to spicy, what about a divorce party? Have you ever thrown a divorce party or had to host or plan a divorce party?
I have not, but I am not above it. I will plan one. I think it's on my website, too, that I will plan a divorce party. I'm not an advocate of divorce, let me say that. But if that is what stage you are in your life, and I believe in celebrating the stages in your life, let's plan it. I mean, I do have ideas.
And that's true. I never even thought about it as, like, being pro-divorce. I think I went to one divorce party. My friend got divorced and it wasn't necessarily, well, no, I was going to tell a whole lie. I was going to say it wasn't that we were celebrating her divorce because she was definitely celebrating that divorce, but we were more like just celebrating our friend. Like, we glad that you are happy and that you are back and that, you know, whatever this new journey is going to take you. But at this divorce party, my homie, it was like midnight and we were sitting around and she had some sweet potatoes on the table. And I was like, can you make a pie? And she threw together a sweet potato pie at this divorce party in the middle of the night. So, you know, it was worth it to me. It was a good time with this pie at this party. What about graduation parties?
I have two, actually. For whatever reason, graduation means a lot of things to a lot of people, right? So sometimes it's closing a chapter. Sometimes it is moving in the next stage of your life. Sometimes it is, thank God, I'm finished. I made it. I'm done. I'm never going back to school ever again in life. So I always kind of find a way to combine what that next stage or what that next step is. So the memorable part of this one party was the theme itself. She was graduating from Boston University, but she was moving to New York City. She was from Chicago. She is an only child and the only grandchild. So I was like, okay. So she's always been just herself, freely who she is, unapologetically who she is. So the theme of her party was Nia and the City. And the way that you're like shaking your head, like, yeah.
I love Nia in the City.
Because if you understand, like, when you're a young college graduate and then you're moving to New York City from Chicago, like, being raised in Chicago, yeah. Now you're moving to the New York City. And then if you watch Sex and the City, like, the things that they went through and everything, like, the growth that they went through was really what I was trying to capture in that, like, and her name was Nia. So, mm-hmm. Nia in the City. And everybody got it. They loved it. It was wonderful. The other baby shower that really stood out to me was the graduate was also pregnant. So she was graduating with her MBA, but she was also pregnant. The time that her graduation party was going to be should have also been the time that her baby shower was going to be. And so we named her party Diapers and Degrees.
Come on, Diapers and Degrees. Double D's.
Double D's. And her hashtag was MBA to MOM.
Oh, that is adorable. That's an awesome hashtag, an awesome theme, an awesome experience.
Yeah. It was fun because we had like books around, but they were like children books. We had degrees around, but the degrees read like this person is certified in being a mom and complete. So it was kind of like a play on evolution in both parts. Like, you're finishing your degree, so now you're certified to do this, but you're also becoming a mom, which certifies you to be a parent. So that was fun. Those were two memorable events, and just memorable based off of the themes and their names.
You have some really cool experiences and opportunities to be with people as they go from one stage in life to another. And like, you really get to like facilitate the experience and see them on the other side. Like, when you see your brides the day of and you get to see their face up close, crying or smiling or whatever it is that they doing, or any of these other part, like that retiree who was like, no, just come eat, get your cake and punch and leave. And now she's sitting here crying, listening to getting these words of affirmation from the people she designed this event for, because the events are not for us. They are for the people. Don't get me started. They are for the people.
You have stuck by that forever. And I always push back and say, no, the event is for you. That's why I always say, let's pull a little uniqueness of you and place it into the event. So when people walk in, they could be like, yep, this is so Danielle.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. See, that's why LaToya keeps me sane. I was so close to becoming a bridezilla, but she saved me and brought me back to having a blissful bridal experience. So I appreciate you sharing your story and walking us through the influences that lead you to keep the party going, and even how you're pushing yourself to elevate your brand. What words of wisdom or advice do you have to like aspiring event planners or creative entrepreneurs?
I think, and these are words of wisdom that I say to myself all the time, you have to just do it. You have to just really do it. And if it's janky the first time, then that's your training step. And then you regroup and do it again. That's the only way you're going to know if it is a win or not, and if you're going to be successful or not. Like with my chat with LK, when I first did it, I did it for couples and it was okay. It wasn't awful. It wasn't what I was expecting either. And now I've revamped it to where it's more for aspiring planners or planners who are already kind of doing things, but just kind of want the focus or refocus on how to do things better. And again, I'm always nervous about my chat with LK sessions, but when I first started it, it was supposed to be strictly for couples. And now I'm kind of like, I'll just do it for the event planners.
How can people follow you? How can people get in touch with you? What's your website? What's your social media?
Yeah, so website and social media being Instagram and Twitter, is LK Events. And it is ELLEKAY and the word events with an S. I know a lot of people want to pronounce it Ella, but Ella is ELLA. So put that little put that little tidbit out there. It is LK Events, and it's really my initials.
All right, LK Events. And you talked about your website and that you got some stuff on your website from this pivot that 2020 has led us to. You mentioned like micro weddings and some other new stuff that's like on the horizon in weddings. What are you planning for 2020 and beyond?
So I just finished my last wedding for 2020 last weekend, which was beautiful because it was a guest of four people on the guest list.
Sound good to me.
Two of them being the bride and groom.
Come on.
And then we had like 50 some odd people on Zoom. So it worked out great. But I am, and because I'll say this means it has to really happen, right?
Come on.
I am planning a styled shoot. So, and for those who don't know, styled shoots are just kind of like a modeling session, but it's with like tables and flowers and decor. Like we're setting up as if we are in a wedding space. So I'm doing it for a micro wedding to get those images out so people can get a visual and see what micro weddings really will look like. And then a kid's style shoot is coming once I figure out what images I actually want to show in the vision board. I haven't done a vision board for it. But yeah, so 2021 is going to be insane because a lot of my 2020 clients moved over to 2021. So people who are getting married or engagement season begins next week. So understand that 2021 is going to be a bit crazy because vendors are kind of double booked because they had to move everything over a year. So it's kind of like we lost a year and now we're playing catch up to get those going.
But there are so many options, whether it be going back outside when the world opens up in 2021 or learning about micro weddings or doing something in between. And when you have an Aries in your life named LaToya and her business of LK Events, anything is possible. Anything is possible. Thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing your stories, walking us through what you have planned in the future. You spoke it, so it will happen. And LaToya is also definitely helping Danielle Moneyham build her brand as well. So I know she says she don't do PR, but we here now. So, all right, y'all.
This is how we started with the planning of the wedding.
This is exactly how we started with the planning of the wedding. LaToya and I are joined, okay? We will collaborate. Any opportunity I have to collaborate with this brilliant woman, I will. So, if it gotta be me, I'm like, okay, so let's just talk about me. But thank you again for coming on the show, and I will talk to you guys later. Bye. All right, superstars, we are all out of time. Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you love the show, make sure to subscribe, share, review the episodes, tag a friend, talk to me. Visit DanielleMoneyham.com and follow me on social media to stay connected. Your support means the world to me, so thank you for helping my dreams come true. A major lesson that I learned, that I continue to learn, is that although you will experience dark moments in your journey, you can be the light. You have more power than you know. Until we meet again, shine bright.